Before we get into the sermon time here, I want to share with you some of the upcoming activities and events that we have coming on. I think these are all expressions of the way that God is working through us and the way that He's providing opportunities for us to grow closer to Him as we grow closer to one another. So, April 30th, next Sunday, is our second installment of the One in Christ worship service and fellowship meal with the Spanish-speaking group. And so, like we did back in January, we'll have a service that will be partly done in English, part of it in Spanish. I'm only going to do English this time, and that's wisdom coming through there, I think. Also, on the 30th, there will be an area-wide worship service at Brentwood Oaks Church of Christ. We're invited to participate in that. That is at 5 p.m. Then, coming up in May 4th, we're having a day that we're calling a call to prayer. This is a day of prayer for our congregation. It's in conjunction with the National Day of Prayer. Our building will be open from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. for you, friends, family members, to come here to the building to pray to God. We will have stations set up throughout the foyer area, hallway, auditorium, and these prayer stations will be helpful in you praying about different things going on in life and in the world. Speaking of the National Day of Prayer, the City of Leander's prayer breakfast is also on that day, Thursday, May 4th, and everyone is invited to participate in a prayer breakfast at the police department on that day from 6:45 to 8 a.m. So that's all on May 4th. Then, on Sunday, May 7th, we're going to begin a new young adults class, a class for 20s and 30s, I've said 19-ish to 39-ish, so we want you to be aware of that if you fall into that age range. This class will meet in room number 4. I'll be the primary teacher in there with some other folks helping teach as well. This is one way, another way that we are trying to facilitate this idea, this value of cultivating youth and family discipleship. So I want you to be aware of that. So that's all the stuff that's coming on, coming up. Please read your bulletin so that you're aware of the activities and events that God is doing through us. Also, pay attention to the website and Facebook as well. God is working in powerful ways, and we want you to be aware of what He's doing in us and through us so that you can participate in it as well. Switching gears. Exodus chapter 12, verses 24 through 27. This is the scene of the Passover. God is going to deliver His people from the bondage that they have been experiencing in Egypt. They have cried out to Him, and God is now going to deliver them with the leadership, the partnership of Moses. Just before they finally exit Egypt, they're told about an event, an activity that they're to participate in called the Passover. And as Moses is offering them instructions on the Passover, he says this to the people, verse 24 of Exodus 12. "Obey these instructions as lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you as He promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask," it's the part we're highlighting this morning, "what does this ceremony mean to you? Then tell them, it is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when He struck down the Egyptians. Then the people bowed down and worshiped." And so the people are instructed to observe this Passover on an annual basis. And when they do this, they're celebrating the protection and deliverance of God. this is what we might call a built-in teachable moment for the people of God. This is an opportunity for children to learn more about God's faithfulness and love, protection, mission for His people. And the parents are the carrier of this message, the carrier of this story, the ones that are to seize the opportunity to share in this teachable moment the way that God has worked in their lives. And so we ask the question, why is it important for them to observe this command? Why are they told to do this on an annual basis? Children, quite simply, need to know about the faithfulness and the love of God. And one of the ways that they learn about God is by hearing what He has done for the people in the past. That's how they learn to know Him and trust Him. Now move over to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 7. A section of Scripture that's often referred to as the Shema, which simply means hear. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Moses here says these commandments, just prior to saying this, he had shared with them once again the Ten Commandments, instructing them to be people who follow those commandments. Verse 7, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Of course, some Jewish people take this very literally, even to this day, and they have these little items called phylacteries that are connected to them, physically connected to them, to remind them of the spiritual truth of God's deliverance, protection, words, and commandments. Verse 9, write them on your door frames. Write the commandments on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. And so, about these commands, Moses tells them to impress them, imprint them on their children. Talk about them when they're walking down the road, when they're sitting at home, in the morning, in the evening. The word of the Lord is to be written on the door frames of their homes. And so when they go in and out, they can see the word of the Lord in front of them. It's to be written on the gates as well. So as they leave their home, again, they can see the word of the Lord. In other words, these families, Jewish families, Israelite families, are to live in a world that is saturated with the word of God. It's all around them. They can't help but seeing it and hearing it in the morning, the night, while they're sitting at home. And so we ask the question again, why? The word of God is their guide for life. It's the way to please God, to glorify Him, to honor Him. And so parents, impress the word, the commandments of God on your children. Create an environment at home that is saturated in the word of the Lord. Do what you can to be a vehicle for the word of the Lord making its home in the hearts of your children and really in the hearts of the community. In verses 10 through 19 in Deuteronomy 6, Moses continues with similar instructions. I want us to notice verses 20 through 25, though. Skip down to 20 through 25. This is continuing in Deuteronomy chapter 6. In the future, Moses says, in the future, when your son asks you, what is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and laws the Lord our God has commanded you? Tell him, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent signs and wonders, great and terrible, on Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us out from there to bring us in this land he promised on oath to our ancestors. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God, so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as the case is for today. And if we are careful to obey all this law before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us, that will be our righteousness. some important language here in verses 20 through 25. I want to make sure that we get this morning. So he says, in the future, and I believe here Moses is talking about not just in the next 5 years, but talking about in the next 50 years, 100 years, 200 years. When your children ask, when your son asks, what is the meaning of all of these laws? Parents are to reply. This is what I want us to get. Parent replies, we were slaves in Egypt, but the Lord delivered us. Before our eyes, the Lord sent signs and wonders, but he brought us out from there to bring us in a land that he has given us. The Lord commanded us to obey all the decrees. The language is not, there was a group of people at one time that the Lord did this and that for. No, in the way that the parents are to talk to their children, it's as if the story of God's deliverance from years past is their deliverance as well. The stories and the way that they tell the stories, they can connect themselves and their children to the story of God's protection, his love, faithfulness, and deliverance. The story of the Exodus becomes the story of the children. And this is one of the avenues, this is important, one of the avenues for the children to come to faith, to learn about God and what he not only has done for the people of God, but what he is doing and will do for the people of God. The same God of the Exodus, the God of the children throughout all generations. And so parents, this morning, I ask you the question, what stories do you tell your children? What stories are you impressing on your children? What words are you impressing on your children? Story of a man named Jesus who came to the earth, who taught, who lived a life. It was an example of how God would desire us to live, who gave his life sacrificially on a cross, and on the third day rose, conquering death, giving us hope. Is that a story that is becoming your child's story? Are you impressing that on them? And here's the deal with our world today, maybe more so now than ever before. We live in a culture, in an environment of competing stories. Stories of creation. Stories of salvation. Stories of hope. Stories of how one is to find their identity, who they truly are, what is their purpose in life. So there's stories all around us. We're living in the culture of the 50 shades of gray, right? What story are you going to impress on your children? They are. This isn't like probably or perhaps. They are hearing and seeing other stories, competing stories. And so which story will you impress on your children, especially in a world of competing stories? I'm going to share one more moment from the history of the Israelites. And this is to impress the point that we're making this morning. This is about crossing the Jordan. We can read about it in Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you will stay tonight." You can imagine that those that were getting these instructions are like, "Really? You can grab that guy, right? Kind of stand it away a little bit. No, thank you. Had enough work on this journey. Don't need to carry some stones." But anyways, verse 4. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of tribes of Israel to serve as a sign among you. In the future..." There it is again. "When your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. There it is again. It was a meal. It was instructions that they were to put up in their house, that they were going to wear with them, and they were going to talk about in their homes. And now it's 12 stones, teachable moments. This is the way that God has demonstrated love and faithfulness to us throughout history. This God, the one who has provided for his people, is the one who is providing for you as well. This is the God who is going to sustain you into the future. This God is your God. Salvation comes through him. This one who we are living for is the one who has provided salvation for you through the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Which stories are you telling your children? We live in a world of competing stories. Most stories don't include a man named Jesus Christ. So God told the Israelites to teach their children about him. And our vision as a congregation is to cultivate youth and family discipleship. And it's built on this foundation. God's people have always been storytellers. The story that they're telling is truth. It is the true story of God's faithfulness and love. We are to be teaching our children about God so that they will know him and serve him. So Proverbs 22 and verse 6 says this in the NIV, "Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it." In the King James Version, the one that many of you are likely familiar with, it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." And then the Message Version, I like Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of this, "Point your kids in the right direction. Point your kids in the right direction. When they're old, they won't be lost." There are competing stories in our world, and there are all kinds of directions that your children can go. It's as if there's a GPS and the lady, it's always a lady's voice, for whatever reason. I don't know if that had anything to do with directions, but it's as if she's shouting all kinds of directions, right, to our kids. That's what they're hearing. Go this direction. Go this direction. Go this direction. This direction will bring you all kinds of pleasure. This direction will bring you all kinds of popularity. This direction will ensure that you're cool at school. Point your kids in the right direction. When they're old, they won't be lost. And so for the remainder of this morning's sermon, I want to offer some ideas on how we can point our kids in the right direction so that when they are old, they won't be lost. First of all, we are to be talking about God in your home, thinking about what Moses said. Talk about the word of the Lord. Impress the commandments on your children. We can ask questions like this at the conclusion of the day or sitting around the dinner table. How did you see God working in the world or in your life today? What are you thankful to God for today? And so parents, this puts us on the hook, right? We need to be talking about God and how he's working in our lives and in the world if we're going to expect our children to do the same. And so it could be like this. Instead of saying something like, "I learned a lot about life in this situation," which isn't necessarily a bad thing to say, you could say something like this: "God is teaching me a lot about life through this situation." What this requires is that we're intentional in the language that we're using and what we are doing each and every day. So first of all, simply talking about God in your home, praying together, talking about the Word and how it's at work in your lives. Secondly, serve together. Reach out to your neighbors. And not only do that on an individual basis, but do that as a family as well. Allow the kids to connect with other kids, of course, in a safe environment so that you all as a family can be making a positive impact on them for the sake of the gospel. Go visit the shut-ins and widows together, widows. I got German there all of a sudden. Visit the shut-ins and the widows. I know that they always appreciate visits. Take your kids. As the saying goes, more is caught than taught. Go on a mission trip as a family. Serve in the pantry together. Serve together. Bring your children, the third thing, bring your children to Bible classes and ministry activities. Sunday mornings, we have Bible classes for our kids. Wednesday evenings, we have Bible classes for our kids. These are great opportunities to learn about God. And then, on the way home, ask them. Ask. I think this might be the most important part. Ask them, what did you guys talk about in Bible class this morning or this evening? Take an interest in your kids' spiritual well-being. As I mentioned, as I was talking about the upcoming events, we have a new Bible class that's going to be coming up starting in May 7th. A component of this class will be aiding parents in teaching children. So we'll be talking about what the children are talking about in their Bible classes, and then specifically asking a question like, as parents, what can we be doing to reinforce the message that the children are receiving in Bible class? So parents, take note of that. Next, love your children, but don't idolize them. I'm going to read a section of an article that was in the Association of Biblical Counselors. This was written by a man named Greg Wilson. He wrote, "An idol is anything more important to you than God. Anything that absorbs your heart and imagination more than God. Anything you seek to give you what only God can give. Good things can be idols too, if they come between us and what is best for us, which is the Lord. Anything can be an idol, a hobby, a church or ministry, a job, a boyfriend or girlfriend, a husband or wife, a brother or sister, a parent or a child. Some examples of how our families can become idols. Parents who nurture their children, but not their relationship with the Lord or their marriage for 18 plus years, and then get divorced when the children are grown because they have nothing else. Parents who seek the approval of their children more than the approval of the Lord, so they fail to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Families who spend a fortune on nice vacations to spend quality time together and then claim to not have time or money to send their kids on a short-term mission trip or a Bible-based Christian youth camp. Men who abdicate their God-given responsibility to the spiritual leaders of their home, settling for Father of the Year instead. It's a lot harder to plan a family devotion than a family excursion." Love your children, but don't idolize them. Part of that means this love that you offer them is to find their identity, their character, ultimately in God. Parents, how are we doing that? And then finally, it's important that as parents, even as a church, that we keep a proper, faithful, God-honoring perspective about life. And this means that we remember what is eternal and what is temporary. So I've got all of this up here on the stage. One thing that we want so desperately, Sarah and I have had conversations like this too, is a nice house, another bedroom, a better bathroom, a bigger yard. Oftentimes, a good percentage of our income goes toward this house. There's a saying, we know it well, right? Keep up with the Joneses. Oftentimes, that has a lot to do with our mortgage payment, doesn't it? Our house. And so it's so very important that we remember that this is temporary. house is temporary, right? Or how about this? So we've said, we've told Adeline and we've told others many, many times that an Audi R8 Spider is a pretty sweet car. We know that that's the nicest vehicle that will ever be in our garage. Of course, you have to charge it up every night, and it goes about 3 miles per hour and only seats one, so it's not a great family vehicle. I think the real one only seats two. I'll never know for sure. But we spend an incredible amount of money, right, on our vehicles. Perhaps for some of us, the target that we're really aiming for in what we do for our vocation, our career, our job, is really about getting a nicer one of these. What Dave Ramsey says, we go to debt for one of these to try to impress a bunch of people that we don't really like. But we need to remember this deal with four wheels is temporary, right? It's temporary. So I started really stepping on my toes. I was thinking about this. I've got some baseball glove, tennis racket, football, golf club. These here are temporary. Now, let me talk about sports for just a second. They can be an avenue to praise God. As a matter of fact, in a tournament last week for golf, after winning, the winner gave glory to God for that opportunity. He was using that opportunity as a platform to speak well about God. But we know what's happening with sports, right? Year-round, every evening, more competition, tournaments that go all across the nation for baseball and basketball and soccer. It's important as parents, as we think about keeping a proper, faithful, God-honoring perspective about life, that although this might be fun and bring great joy, it's still is temporary. You get the idea. And here, just a diploma, right? Man, this is important. How many hours we dedicate to ensuring that we got one of these? How much did we spend to get one of these? Those of us who weren't fortunate enough to get scholarships, how much debt did we go into to get one of these? But I think it's so very important. I'm just going to set this over here. I think it's so very important that we remember that even that, although we can use it as a platform to do incredible good for the kingdom, we need to remember that it is simply temporary. Clothes, we need them, right? But for some of us, those become the object of our affection. And so we need to remember that they are temporary. And so I think for parents, as we think about all that's going on in life, the culture that we live in, the environment that we're surrounded by, the cultural air that we breathe, and all of this pressure with all of these competing stories that we have, the bigger, the better, the nicer, the faster, all of that, it's important that we maintain that eternal perspective. And so I want you to think about your life, what's on your property, what you do with your time. I want you to think of it this way. Think about having a red piece of paper, right, that has the word temporary on it. What in your life deserves that tag of temporary? Right? Just think about your life, all that you experience. What has the tag of temporary? Now, there's another tag that's forever or eternal on it. Think about what you experience in life, who you interact with. Think about what has this tag on it forever. People, parents, your kids. Now, with that image in your mind, where are you putting your time, your energy? What are you investing in? It's so very important that we maintain a proper perspective on things, thinking about the world that we live in with competing stories. Point your children in the right direction. And here's the deal. For some of you here, you're thinking, well, I don't have my kids. My kids are grown up, and they're doing their own thing. Now, think of this question. As I was preparing, I was thinking about this. Is it the church's responsibility to ensure that our children are raised in the instruction of the Lord, or is it the parents' instruction, the parents' responsibility to ensure that their children are raised in the instruction of the Lord? I think it's a trick question, right? The answer is yes. And so all of us together as a church family have this responsibility, this blessing, this privilege of pointing our children in the right direction so that as they grow up and move into the future, they will be walking, talking ambassadors of Jesus Christ. That is our hope. And so our elders have decided that one of our values, part of our vision, is that we are going to cultivate youth and family discipleship. That's our aim. That's what we're going to be about. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for today, the time that we have gathered together to worship you. We're thankful, Father, for the way that you have called us into relationship with you through your Son, the cross, and the resurrection. It's our prayer, Father, that we will live lives that bring honor and glory to you, and specifically as we think about this, the idea of cultivating youth and family discipleship, that we will take seriously the responsibility and the call to share with our children, our young people, the truth about who you are and what you are doing in our lives, the way that you love us, the way that you care for us. Father, work in our hearts so that that'll be true for us each day, that we will tell the true story of your faithfulness and love so that more and more will come to know you, love you, and serve you. We give you thanks for Jesus. In his name that we pray, amen. Maybe today, there's someone here that has not yet given your life over to Jesus Christ in the waters of baptism. Amazing thing is that God offers us mercy and grace. He welcomes sinners home. For some of you here today, perhaps you have not come home yet. And our hope would be that you would do so today in the waters of baptism. We would love to witness you make that incredible, faithful choice today. Here in a moment, Rob's going to lead us in an invitation song. If that is on your heart, we'd hope that you would do that this morning. Maybe today you're here and you're just needing prayers, struggles and pain, relationship issues, whatever the case may be, we are here to pray with you. We desire to bear each other's burdens. And so as Rob leads us an invitation song, if you have something on your heart you'd like to bring to our attention, you can do that as we stand and continue to worship our God.